Please? No? All right. Whatever. I used to have a high value on church people, but... All right. Are you having fun today? Good to be here. Good to be in church. Good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful time. I have one more announcement I'd like to make. We have the honor of having someone visit with us in April, April 19th, actually. His name's Don Rogers. He's the founder and director of Empowering Lives International. It's an organization that works primarily in East Africa. And actually, Jeff Matthews and I went to Kenya to work in one of their training centers. They're about empowering people, lifting people out of poverty, not by giving them freebies, but by teaching them and giving them an education so that they can learn how to step out of poverty with just the understanding and the knowledge that they need through different programs that and educational programs that they offer. So Don is going to be here on the 19th, and he's going to be our guest speaker on that day. It's going to be really wonderful. I really encourage you to be here. He's an amazing guy. We'll show a little video bio of him in a couple weeks, and you'll be very impressed with that, but I think you'll be even more impressed with him in person. He's just the most genuinely caring, loving man I've ever met. He's a very, very godly guy, has a very good sense of what God is trying to do to lift people out of poverty. A lot of our overseas efforts, the church in general, have been focused on giving people freebies because... they're in such desperate need, and it really gets at us. So we just say, well, here, we'll just give you a bunch of stuff. And he has a whole different perspective of that. He says, really, the way to lift people out of poverty is not to just give them a bunch of stuff, but it's teach a man to fish. And so they teach people how to do different things, like how to farm, how to start little small micro businesses with micro loans. They teach them how to do real practical stuff. In fact, I get the privilege of going over there in May to Kenya, and I'm going to be teaching in a wood shop that they've set up. Somebody donated a bunch of money, and they built a shop, and they gave all the tools to a real Western-style cabinet shop, and I have a background in that, and so I get to go over there and work with the director of that, teaching him how to teach people how to do woodworking and cabinets. So it's going to be a really fun time. That's going to be in May. You'll be praying for that, but Don will be here just in 3 weeks from today, and he'll be kind of sharing the vision of ELI, what they're all about, and we'll just go from there with that. So anyway, that is a real honor for us. If you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we're going to start there this morning. We started with a parallel passage of this out of Matthew last week, and we got about halfway through, got really long, and had to shut her down, and obviously didn't shut down soon enough because we got out really late. And one thing I want to tell you is that clock back there last week, I have an excuse. I kept looking at the clock saying, I'm okay. Because as long as I'm out of here by about 11:40, I don't get screamed at too much. And I shut it down at about 11:40, and then somebody said, that clock's 10 minutes slow. Dang it! So it messed me up. So it wasn't my fault. I'm totally exonerated from all wrongdoing. Thank you very much. Not buying it. Okay. Last week we talked about the first part of this passage, and now we're going to talk about the second part. We'll read it. Luke 9:21 says this, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" So we took this, the first part last week, and we came to this conclusion, kind of a summary statement that said, a radical disciple passionately pursues Jesus, follow me, come after me, at renouncing the right to rule his own life. We talked about this idea of denying yourself, what it means to deny yourself, what it doesn't mean to deny yourself. This week, we're going to talk about this statement right here. We got through, let him deny himself. We're going to start at, take up his cross daily and follow me. And here's the summary statement that we're going to work off for today, is that a radical disciple must die to self and lose his old self to find his new life in Jesus. All right? That's where we're starting today. Can you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for the work that you have done on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that even at this time of the year, we think more and more about that wonderful work you did on the cross and the resurrection that empowers us to live brand new lives. And God, I pray that even as we go through this passage today, that you would open up the scripture to our hearts and minds. God, that you would give us understanding, that you would reveal some of the deep truths that you have for us in this. God, and I pray that it would change our lives. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, when we were talking about this, just to give you a little bit of hint as to where other people are in the congregation with what we're saying, here's just a sampling of some Connect cards that were handed in. And these are all anonymous, so you don't know who this is. I don't know who they are either. But here's the questions were along the lines of how would you categorize your life in terms of your spiritual walk? Are you on fire? Are you holding steady? Are you struggling to keep up? Where are you at? And then I said, given that that's where you are, what are you going to do to change it? What is God inspiring you to change? And so here's some of the answers to that question there. Here's one that says, go back to how my relationship was with God in the first place. I need to spend more time with him and put aside other things and focus on him and him first. Okay? Here's another one that says, I need to read more scripture. I need to pray more. I need to talk openly about the Lord with other people. I have things I need to let go of that I do to make myself feel better that are not healthy. I need to pray more and let God have control of my life. Here's one that says, I'm drawing more toward Jesus, but could improve. I want to spend more time, deeper, intentional time, learning to hear from the Lord, to move to Christ rule, disciplined. I can wait on God more and be obedient. That's what they're saying. Here's one that says, I have become passionate about many things while reflecting a true passion for my relationship with Christ. God is leading me to regain a passion for him above all things. These are just some of the, just kind of a, gives you an idea of where people are at with what we've been talking about, how people are responding. So I'll be asking you in a little bit to take your Connect card that's in your bulletin and write some comments on that. Love to have these things handed in because it does give us a sense of where you're at and also gives us a clue as to how to pray for you. And it also helps you to really pin down what God is talking to you about. It crystallizes it in your mind, all right? So let's talk about this idea of taking up your cross daily and follow me. The cross is it's a standard in our culture. It's an icon, obviously, and it's an icon that has a lot of meaning to a lot of different people. The cross is depicted in several different ways. We wear them around our necks, and they're usually really pretty, and they're nice and valuable, either gemstones or some precious metals or something like that. Some rugged guys will have like nails tied with rope and they hang that around their neck. And crosses can come in all shapes and sizes and forms. Some of the crosses you'll see, we have crosses in the building here and we love to see that. But one thing that happens with icons is eventually what happens in our minds is that icons become blasé. They become really neutralized in our brains. And so we see crosses all over our society, really. Driving down the street, you'll pass churches and you'll see crosses up and you'll see various billboards and you'll see stuff on the internet. And then all that stuff, you'll see crosses. They just come up and you just go, yeah, cross, big deal. And when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me daily, that may not have the impact that it was originally intended to have on us as we read the scripture. And when Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me, it wasn't to say, literally, pick up a cross, wear it around your neck, wear it on your shoulder, or whatever, but he was actually talking about a lot more stuff. And obviously, being God incarnate, he knew the cross and what it was representing for him. It was his future. In fact, the whole purpose of why he came led to the cross. Everything that his life was about went to the cross. His life can only be seen accurately through the cross. We can't really understand who he was unless we see him through the cross. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a miracle worker. He was a man on a mission sent to die. That's what he was all about. He was sent here to die. And he gave his life willingly to sacrifice himself for you and for me. What the cross isn't, all right? Here's what it isn't. It isn't your lost husband or wife. It isn't your wayward child. It isn't your ding-a-ling neighbor. It isn't your difficulties that you're struggling with. It isn't your health. It isn't your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law is not your cross to bear. She may be a bear to cross, but she's not a cross to bear, okay? So it's not your mother-in-law. But we have all these ideas. Well, I'm struggling. This is my cross to bear. You know, I have these stupid ways that I think. That's my cross to bear. No, 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 no. You're minimizing the cross. You're starting to say that the cross is all about you. That it's about a little struggle, and I don't mean to minimize that in your life, but it's not about any of that stuff for us. The cross is about death. The cross has always been about death. Ever since Jesus spoke these words in the Roman Empire, crucifixion was commonplace. At certain times, they had up to 2,000 people crucified along roadsides leading into Jerusalem. Insurrectionists and insurgents and all kinds of different people, they would just crucify him. And it was the most humiliating, painful, drawn-out, torturous death that you could possibly do. And they did it intentionally. And so when Jesus said, take up your cross, he wasn't saying, you know, bear up under that little stress you have at work. That just minimizes it. It doesn't mean that at all. What he's saying is, die. Not a lot of popular or successful businesses have as a motto, buy our product and die. You know, most of them will say, have it your way, you know, come and get it and all you want, it's all about you. Not too many will be successful by saying, come and die. Come and die, it's great. But that's exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying, come and die. And it doesn't make for a lot of good PR when you say, hey, come and be a Christian. We got a deal for you. If you come and be a Christian, you can suffer, you can sacrifice, and eventually you can die. It's a great deal. Come on, join us. But this is what Jesus was saying. He said, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, take it up, and follow me. I was just looking through the crucifixion story, the Passion of the Christ is what it's called, and through my normal Bible reading stuff, I just happened to be in Matthew 26 and 27 this past week, and here's what happened on the way to the cross for Jesus, all right? While he was with his disciples, he was hanging out in the garden, praying, knowing what was coming. One of his disciples, Judas, comes and gives him a kiss on the cheek, leading a group of people who arrest him. So the cross for him meant he's betrayed by friends. Next comes this situation where when the mob comes to arrest him, Peter grabs his sword, chops off the ear of some guy, and Jesus said, put that away. Do you think, really, that if I wanted to, I could not have to go through this. I could call down legions of angels and they would rescue me from this. Do you think I need this? Put your swords away. So he willingly gave himself. He resisted nothing, knowing that this was the path that he needed to take. That was what the cross meant to him. When he was accused before the high council, lies were being told about him. People were making up stories of what he had supposedly said, didn't say any of them. Came to a point when they finally found one little thing that could be pinned on him, and they said, do you defend yourself in this? And he didn't. He didn't even open his mouth. Didn't open his mouth. And then they said, well, we've heard you say that you and the Father are one, that you're like the Son of God. He said, you have said so. He didn't even come after him or anything. That was what the cross meant to him, just being silent before his accusers. He was beaten by those that he came to save, bloodied and battered, and he didn't resist. That was what the cross meant to him. He was humiliated. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He was stripped and a crown of thorns, not lightly pressed on his head, but beat down upon his head. Thorns, not blackberries, okay? Thorns, big, long, some say they were up to an inch long, pressed, wood-like thorns pressed into his skull. And he resisted not, the Bible says. He was spat upon, he was mocked, he was made fun of. You're the Son of God? Bring yourself down from there if you're the Son of God. Try it. You said you could save us, you can't even save yourself. People walked by him and spat on him. Just the ultimate denigration of humanity, just spitting on somebody. And yet he didn't resist. This is what the cross meant to him. He was continually mocked right up to the point of his death. He's already hanging on the cross, but he was continually mocked. Even the two thieves on either side of him mocked him. One eventually repented, but they were both railing on him. Down below the scene of the cross, the soldiers were rolling dice to split up the clothes that he wore. This is what the cross meant to him. Even in death, he gave himself willingly to his ultimate purpose. He gave himself. He says, the Bible says that he cried out with a loud voice and then he gave up his spirit. He gave it up. This is the cross for Jesus. And so when Jesus is saying, what you need to do is you need to take up the cross and follow me, he wasn't saying, you know, suffer through life's mishaps, the sin-filled world and all that it brings, you know, just kind of struggle through it and eventually it's okay. He said, die. Now, this is obviously a sobering message, right? But Jesus giving that command, he wasn't asking for us to kind of, you know, limp along or even go against the way that this world, what he was saying was die to yourself. Die, give up all of that stuff that you fight over and over again to keep hold of and to base your life on that eventually ends up to be nothing. He said, just die to it. Die. The gospel is absolutely true. Amen? Is it popular? Not the real gospel. The true gospel is not a very popular message. We can make versions of the gospel that sound really good and that give us goosebumps and make us feel warm and fuzzy inside, but the real gospel is not a very comforting message. Come and die. Come and die. Now, I'm so glad that Jesus did what he did. I'm glad that Jesus came, and I'm glad that he went to the cross because I'm a sinful person, and when Jesus went to the cross, all of my sin went upon him, and when he bled and he died, that was for me, and that was for you, and I am so thankful for that because without that, I have no hope at all, never a hope in the world. Couldn't make it. There's nothing I could do that would make me right with God other than what Jesus did, and so I'm grateful as I'll get out for that. Out of that gratitude, there has to come some sense of, if he would do that for me, what am I going to do about that? Am I going to do anything about that at all? Or am I just going to be a taker? Am I going to say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Now I can just live my life and do whatever I want to do. Thank you, but I'm going to heaven. That doesn't seem right to me. In fact, that seems diametrically opposed to what is right. I like the idea of the cross more than I like the cross itself. I like the images that it conjures up in my mind. I like what the cross means for me more than I like the idea of actually carrying the cross. If you had a choice between this cross and this cross, which cross would you choose? The pretty one is nice. I like this one over here because it's actually very pretty. It's sanded and it's a lot of workmanship went into it. I didn't do this, but somebody put a lot of effort into this. A very, very nice cross. And it's got some, you know, shiny finish on it. There's no slivers. And it's actually really light. It's very nice. And if I had a choice between a cross I think I'd take that one. This one over here, it doesn't appeal to me at all. You know what I'm saying? Does that look nice to you? Does that look like if I'm going to pick up a cross, it's going to be this baby? This is the new model. You can see it has all kinds of feet. No. This cross is rough, and it's slivery, and it's kind of heavy and bulky and unrefined. And this kind of more represents the cross that Jesus bore. You know, after he was flogged and they were hauling him down the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, they say that the cross beam that he had to carry on his back weighed 125 pounds. And that's why they actually got Simon of Cyrene to come and pick up the cross and take it the rest of the way. He's bearing 125 pounds on his back, bloodied, beaten by the cat of nine tails that had leather strips embedded with glass and bone, ripping the meat off his back. And then he's asked to carry a 125-pound beam on his back. So this is a little bit more accurate representation of the cross. But, you know, he says to take it up, and I don't really want to take it up because it's not very... I want one around my neck, maybe. I want maybe in my wallet I could carry a picture of it. But actually take it up, it's like, it's kind of repulsive, actually. And then you pick it up and say, hey, got a sliver, dang. That's not nice at all. It's kind of heavy. It's kind of awkward. It's kind of like, I don't even know how to, what do I do with this thing? I take up this cross. And so it's like, well, I guess I'll just do this. It doesn't feel very good. There's no real good way to carry. My shoulder's already getting sore. You know, it weighs 20, 30 pounds. It's heavy. So, but it's not like convenient to do this. You know, hey, David, I just want to say, I'm going to have to take the plank out of your own eye. No, never mind. But so he says to carry this cross, and he says to take it up and to live this way. He says not just once in a while and some bit. You're kind of afraid, aren't you? I'm going to swing that around and like Three Stooges, like, wow. So he says take up this cross, and he says to do it daily. Every day do this. Now, not literally, but figuratively speaking, he says take up this cross and live with this cross. So if I'm going to have a conversation with somebody, I'm taking this cross with me, and I'm going to have this conversation. We're going to talk, and sometimes it's going to get in the way, and it's going to be like, I wish I could get rid of this cross. Oh, no, Jesus told me to take it up. I better keep it. And if I'm going to go to work, I got to take this thing to work. I got to drive with it. I got to have, I got to have a commute that represents a cross being with me all the time, which is kind of tough sometimes. I've got to pay my bills with my cross on my back. I got to work on my job with a cross representing Christ and dying all the time and all the things that I'm tempted to do. I've got to go home and I've got to talk to my wife with a cross in mind. I've got to live with this cross on me. I've got to raise my children, deal with my grandchildren with a cross. The cross is always there. He says, take it up. Take it up. So when I'm doing my relationships have to be with the cross in mind. And what does the cross represent? Death. So all my relationships aren't about me. It's not about how happy I am with this relationship. It's about, have I died yet for this relationship? When I'm working on my job, it's not about my boss sucks and man, they're so mean here and I don't get paid enough and blah, blah, blah. It's about, have I died yet to this job? Put your life circumstance in this and you say, have I done that yet? You're scared, aren't you? So this cross, picking up the cross thing is just kind of a crazy deal. And obviously this is kind of a weird metaphor, but you have to get this in mind so that you understand what Jesus was saying. When he says, take up your cross, he's not saying, oh, look at the pretty pictures of little crosses on your neck. Oh, just think about Jesus on the cross. He's saying, die. Die. When I'm tempted to sin, I've died to sin. The cross allowed me to die to sin. It gave me that power to die to sin. And so I'm dying to sin rather than indulging in sin. Take up your cross daily. I don't have to yield to the sin that I'm tempted to give into anymore because I've died to sin. All right? I'll put this thing down because it really is getting hard on my shoulder. Does that help at all to illustrate, to give you just a visual? Next time you're thinking about this whole idea, why don't you visualize yourself picking up that cross and saying, no, I don't have to act like this. I don't have to be this way. I don't have to relate to people that way. I don't have to think this way. I don't have to sin that way. I don't have to do it because I'm choosing to die. He says, take it up. Now, taking it up is an option. It's a choice we make. We get to choose. Do I want to take up the cross? Well, if I want to live for Christ fully, yeah, I do want to take it up. But my flesh screams against that. I don't want to take it up. I want to go without it because my nature is so rebellious. I just want to live the way I want to live. Quit bugging me about dying to me. It's comfortable when I live within who I am. But Jesus said, no, you're better off dying to that. There's all kinds of meanings behind the cross. It was about humiliation for Jesus. He was humiliated on the cross. Son of God, get this, Son of God, sent from heaven, creator of heaven and earth, stripped naked before people, beaten bloody, spat upon, mocked, humiliated. And we stand up for our rights, don't we? You can't treat me like that. How dare you talk to me? Don't you disrespect me. What does that all say? I haven't died quite yet to me. I haven't allowed myself to be part of this humble servant thing that Jesus had going on. Nicole read this at the very beginning in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And when we are fully engaged in this taking up our cross thing, the humiliation we suffer at the hands of others is a small thing to us. But when we're not, when we're fully running our lives and our show, man, somebody tries to come against us, disrespect us, humiliate us. Man, the flesh rises up and says, how dare you treat me like that? Nobody talks to me that way. Jesus didn't even defend himself at all with all of those things. He just let that go because he knew what he was there for. He knew he was there to take up his cross. That gives him credibility when he tells us to pick up ours. The cross was a thing of sacrifice and suffering. Jesus was beaten to the edge of death, made to carry a 125-pound beam on his back. Sacrifice, suffering, he knew what that was all about. At one point in his life, he says, the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He knew what suffering and sacrifice were all about. But it's not just for Jesus, it was for us too. Luke 6:22, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. We're supposed to be okay with that. Sin against us, suffering, sacrificing lives. We're supposed to be okay with that. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus are going to have a happy life. Oh, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That doesn't sound very good. Can I have option B, please? Now, this is not a popular message in Western Christianity today, right? Because we're not told about suffering. We're not told about persecution. We're not told that we're supposed to do without. We're told, you can have everything you want. Just go for it. But Jesus never preached any of that stuff. Philippians 1:29 says, it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. What a great calling. It's such a neat deal, guys. Golly gee, that's wonderful. I get to suffer for him. Again, it's not a very good marketing tool. But that's the reality for us as believers. When was the last time following Jesus cost you something? I was trying to think about that in my own life, and I actually had a hard time thinking of when the last time was that following Jesus cost me something. I couldn't even think of one. A relationship, a promotion, a vacation, self-respect, convenience, ease. Has it cost me anything? And it makes me wonder, have I picked up a cross? Jesus gave up his position. He gave up his godness. He gave up his own life. And it was all his call to make that happen. Eventually, and ultimately, the cross means death. And Jesus invites us to die to everything that we hold dear and allow him to be Lord over everything, not holding back anything from him. Our own desires, our pursuits, our plans. Jesus did not come to this earth so you could be better behaved, so that you would fine-tune your manners, so that you could smooth out your rough spots. Jesus didn't even come to this earth to change you. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus came so that you could die. Sometimes you preach this stuff and you think, man, nobody's going to come back next week. And that may be true, but it's reality, guys. This is what the gospel says. This is what the Bible talks about. Now, it doesn't mean that it's all miserable and think, why in the world would we ever want to do that? Because there is the payoff on the other side for sure, and there is joy in this life as well. But if we focus on, I want all my goods now and forget the later, then you'll get everything you ever wanted. You'll get it now, but nothing later. We need to be willing to let that happen later and not right now. You know, I've done some funerals, been around dead people, and I don't mean to be crass or anything, but dead people are pretty calm. They don't really have a lot of concerns. They don't have a lot of preferences. They don't even care what they're wearing. They don't care about how you look at them. They don't care how much money you have. They don't care how you'd treat them or what you'd speak to them. They don't care. They just don't care. And Jesus said, come and die. Come and die. And when we come and die like that, it gives us freedom from all of that stuff that we feel like is so big and so important for us. They don't care about how many likes they have on Facebook. It doesn't matter, you know. How was your friend base? Jesus knew what he was on earth to do. And it wasn't to make a bunch of friends and buddies and make people feel good. He was here on mission to go to the cross to die. That's what he was here for. The cross, it stands as a symbol of all those circumstances. And so when he says, come and take up your cross, you think about that. And you think about what Jesus did and how he's asking you to do the exact same thing. That we're not called to anything other than the cross, that we pick up our cross and follow him in that. When it's awkward, when it's uncomfortable, when it makes me feel bad, when I'm humbled by it, when I'm, it's just, that's what we're called to do. And that's what he has put before us. Perhaps, I've thought about this, you know, say your life is represented by a big pile of money. Say, just put a number on, $1 million, okay? Not realistically, but just say you got a $1 million stash, okay? And it would be so cool when Jesus says, take up your cross, to just go out in a blaze of glory, put in all the chips, I'm going out with a bang, all $1 million of your life in one fell swoop, boom, you're in, you're out, you're done, you go to heaven. But instead, Jesus asks us to pick up our cross daily, not once, not going out in a blaze of glory, but he says once. And so it's like your $1 million is divided up into nickels and dimes and quarters, and you got this pocket full of change. And so if you go to like Matthew 25, he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I needed shelter and you brought me in. I was sick and you cared for me. And so it's like you have this daily thing. I'm picking up my cross. Oh, you're hungry. Boom. And you give them, okay. And I'm spending my million, but I'm doing it like a quarter at a time. Oh, you're thirsty. Okay. Here, you're sick. You need some clothes, and you need to go to the hospital. I'll take you there. And your kids need some help. And
Two, please.
You have a baby?
Ten.
Your suffering is yet to come. So our lives are distributed over time, just little teeny bits by little teeny bits, all day long, every day, not in a blaze of glory, not like, boom, you're done, you're in, you're out, you're gone. But it's like every day we're called to do this. And every day somebody cuts you off on the road and you're going, I'm going to pray for you. Jesus loves you. I don't right now, but I will later on after I calm down a bit. You know, your boss asks you to do something at work and you're just really fighting it and he's a jerk anyway. And so you say, yo, sure, I'd love to. Thanks. Give me the opportunity. Boss. That was mine. Sorry. But see, and this is the way that he's asked us to live. Just little by little by little, every day, all the time, giving ourselves as a daily offering before him. So, here, now I'm feeling really guilty about the Swix. They didn't get anything, and they asked for something, and there you go. Okay. Oh. The Swix are my cross to bear. Oh, wait, I just did. Oh, never mind, I invalidated that. So, what does it look like? Next time you're having a conversation with your neighbor, instead of playing it safe, you introduce the gospel. Even at the risk that they might think you're wacko. Spending your lunch hour, or maybe a Saturday, instead of reading, catching up on your social networking, you go out and you find some place to serve the poor. It could mean that you change your vacation plans this year, and instead of going to some place where you could really consume upon yourself, You instead take the family to Mexico and you find a missionary that needs some help building a house for the poor, or you find somebody, some place where you could serve poor kids and give them food or whatever. It may mean instead of Christmas presents for kids so they'll love you more, supposedly, that you buy Christmas presents for somebody else in the world in honor of somebody that's looking for something under the tree. It could be all kinds of stuff like this. We die to self. Instead of doing something for our own gratification, we do something for somebody else. Instead of holding on to seemingly justifiable bitterness over some wrong that's been done to you, you release that person from that grip that has taken in your heart, and you just let it go. Die to self. It might mean that you take a portion of that new raise you received and give it away to a cause that elevates Christ and builds something about the kingdom of God in this community here. See, all of these things, they're not really rational, and you could say, but I was really planning on, and if I really want, I want to kind of, yeah, I know. I fight against all that stuff too. Same feelings, like, no, that's not right, that's not. Die to self, what does it look like? A dead person doesn't care about that stuff. A dead person won't hold on to those kinds of things like it's their God-given right. But we relent, we give up. All right, let's have the worship team come up. If you want to pull out your Connect card, I got a couple questions for you. The first question is this. If you don't have a Connect card, just take a piece of paper out of the chair in front of you or steal one from your neighbor. Oh, wait, Die Daily. Don't steal it. Just ask kindly and borrow it. What does dying daily look like to you? Not to me, not to the people around. What to you? What does it look like to die daily? You know what? I just had this thought. Now, this is going to be controversial. Buckle up. To die daily might mean when the preacher says, take out your Connect card, you actually do it. I don't know. Just a thought. Was that confrontational? All right. Now I got people waving them at me. I got mine, Pastor. I got mine. All right. Here's a related question. What cross-minded activity or lifestyle change is Jesus prompting you to make? That may be something you can't figure out in the 35 minutes I've been talking, but ponder that a bit. And if you have something, write it down. What lifestyle or attitudinal change is God asking you to make that would demonstrate this dying to yourself? What would it look like for you? Something practical. Don't, not vague and general. Put yourself on the line on this one. God's really been prompting me to preach the gospel to my neighbor, and I'm afraid. I don't know how to do that. God wants me to give some money to this person over here, and I've been resisting it. Write something down that's real, tangible, that costs you something. As you're thinking about all that stuff, keep writing if you'd like. But we're going to take communion now. And what I'd like to do is we're just going to have the communion up here. We'll keep it up here. And you just can walk up the aisles and grab the communion and take it back to the seat. We'll take it all together after everybody's come back to their seats. And if you're still writing on your Connect card, keep doing that. But if you're done, come up and get communion. And we'll wait for you if you're not done writing. That's okay. We're not going to rush you along. So while we sing this song, why don't y'all stand? If you're done writing, stand up, and you can come and take the cup and the bread and head back to your seats when you are ready. All right?